sitcom Seinfeld was extremely popular during its run. In fact, it became downright famous. What was specific about Seinfeld that led to its popularity was that it was a show with no plot. It simply meandered from situation to situation with no apparent purpose. An analysis was done of Seinfeld, and it was discovered that the reason why so many people loved it is because their lives were as plotless as the show. Plotless people loving plotless shows. Far too many people are living decaffeinated lives. No lead in it. Like hamsters on a wheel, regularly rotating, moving at epic speed, but going nowhere. Their lives are more like the flicker of a candle than the brilliance of the noonday sun. Far too many of us, even as Christians, do what we used to do as a family, as a boy growing up in Baltimore, and that was regularly go on Sunday afternoon drives. Where were we going? Nowhere. It was aimlessly meandering with no apparent destination in sight. A few years ago over in Italy, I was looking at some of the artwork of Michelangelo, and he has a whole slew of unfinished carvings, whether it would be part of an arm or part of a leg. It just seemed, because it really was, incomplete. Many of us, even though we have a career, have a job, have a home, have cars, feel that life for us is incomplete. We have a sense of unfinishedness about who we are and what we are about. And at the core of this is our subject for the day as we continue our series on spiritual growth, and that is the subject of your calling. Far too many of us are existing and not living because we have not gotten around to our divinely ordained reason for being. We are living our own Seinfeld existence. Plotlessness. Purposelessness. And one of the great fruits of spiritual growth, one of the great wonders of spiritual growth, is fulfilling the reason you were put here in the first place. The word we have for that is the word calling. Your calling. What we might call the ministry of spiritual growth. First of all, let's clarify the term so that we know what we're referring to. When I talk about your calling or my calling, I'm talking about the customized life purpose that God has ordained and equipped for you in order to expand his kingdom and to bring him greater glory. One of the reasons that God wants you to grow in your faith is so that you will, in a more maximized fashion, fulfill your calling, and every believer has one. It's one of the great gifts of grace that God has provided every believer. When Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he told them in chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not according to works, so that no man should boast. And then he comes in verse 10, after you get saved, in verses 8 and 9, and he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he hath prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. That is, as part of your salvation package, there was provided you a life plan and a life purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I have a plan for you, saith the Lord. Not one of calamity, but one of well-being, to give you a future and to give you a hope." The word we use for that planning, that purpose, that destiny that God has as part of your salvation package is calling. That customized life purpose whereby God has ordained and equipped you for the express purpose of expanding his kingdom and bringing him greater glory. This calling, this divine purpose for being, is one that has been given you by the Creator. God is a God of purpose. A car only fulfills its purpose when it drives. A car stuck in a garage that won't turn on and can't carry you anywhere may be a nice piece to look at, but it is not fulfilling its purpose. An instrument laying down on a chair may be well shined and well polished, but if there is no sound coming from it, it is not fulfilling its purpose. When God created Adam and Eve, in fact, when God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, he created it to fulfill its purpose. He said, "The sun, your purpose is to give light during the day." He said, "Stars, your purpose is to give light during the night." He told Adam and Eve, "Have dominion over the birds of the air and over the beast of the field. Your purpose is to fulfill my dominion." When a manufacturer makes a product, the manufacturer makes a product with a purpose. Every advertisement that you see for a product tells you what it is designed to do. And that is why there is this innate sense in all of us to fulfill a reason for being. I can't tell you how many people have said, "I know God has put me here for a reason." That's a cry for calling, a sense of divine reason for being, a sense of purpose. Falsetto is when a person sings outside of their natural range. They go high when high is not their native voice, but they go up there and visit the heights for a moment and come back down. We are impressed when singers jump from their normal range up to a falsetto and then come back down to what is normal. Many of us are living falsetto lives, functioning outside of our divinely ordained purpose. A great verse is found in Acts chapter 13. Verse 36, a great verse. It reads, "For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay." For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers and underwent decay. It says David's life fulfilled God's purpose. And then he died. The worst kind of death you can die is one where you didn't fulfill what you were put here for to begin with. The worst kind of life to live is a plotless one. One without purpose. You go through the same old ritual. Every day you get up out of that same old bed. You go to that same old bathroom to look in that same old mirror at that same old face. You go to the same old closet to choose from the same old clothes, to go to the same old kitchen table to eat the same old breakfast cooked by that same old person. You go to that same old garage and get into that same old car and go down that same old highway to that same old job working for that same old pay next to those same old people supervised by that same old manager. You get back in that same old car, head back down that same old road to that same old house to hear that same old noise from those same old kids. You sit down in that same old chair to look at that same old TV. You go to that same old dinner table to eat that same old dinner, again, cooked by that same old person. And then you go to that same old bed, go to sleep that same old way to wake up the next day to carry out that same old routine, and you discover your life is plotless. God did not create you, and he most certainly did not redeem you for plotlessness. You and I have been saved to fulfill a calling, and this calling is customized. It says, when David served the purposes of God for his generation. God had a purpose for David, and guess what? He has a purpose for you. And one of the reasons you want to grow and maximize your spiritual development is that you want to realize your purpose. You don't just want to live and die and it be said over your tombstone, he or she was here. The emptiness surrounds us of people who are unaware, one, that God has a calling, and then two, what it is. The beauty about your calling is that it's tailor-made for you. That's why Paul has to say in Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13, work out your own salvation. Because God has a purpose for you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says, a man of understanding finds his purpose. In the same way that you have unique DNA, in the same way that you have unique fingerprints, you have a unique calling that belongs only to you. And you shouldn't be satisfied with anything less. You shouldn't be satisfied simply to have a check, to have a house. That may be the American dream, but God's got a dream a little bigger than that. Now don't get me wrong, it's nothing wrong with having a car or two. It's nothing wrong with having a home. It's nothing wrong with having a job, but is that all there is, Alfie? No, God wants your growth because God wants you to experience your calling. So intentional with God is this issue of calling that he has given you a unique gifting. He has equipped every believer with what the Bible calls a spiritual gift. That is a divine enablement. I like the way 1 Peter puts it. When he's describing this gift, he says in chapter 4, verse 10, as each one, this applies to everyone, has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Guess what God did when he saved you? As part of your spiritual development, he gifted you. Now, let me just state a little clarity on this thing called gift. Gift is not simply a talent. You don't have to be a Christian to have talent. Non-Christians, atheists have talents. That is human ability in certain areas. A gift is more than a talent because a gift is something the Spirit of God uses to promote the purposes of God through your life. The problem is, many of us have taken God's gift and have settled for using them as human talents. And the way you do that is by using your giftedness for you only and not for his kingdom. A gift is something God's Holy Spirit used. Now, it may be the same as a talent, but it does much more than a talent, and that is it promotes that which is part of God's kingdom and does not simply promote what is part of your bank account. One of the reasons many of us are missing our calling is because we're missing our gift. We have settled for a secular definition of why we are here. We have settled for the American dream, but we have missed what God's eternal purpose is and why he gave us that unique ability and that unique experience and that unique desire. Your calling can be meshed with your career. For example, my calling is my career. Proclaiming God's word is also my full-time job. Or your career can support your calling. Paul's calling was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, but the way he paid the bills was by being a tent maker. It can be one and the same, or it can be separate, but the point is that I can identify in my life something eternal, some way that God is using what he has given me beyond earth, and it'll show up again in heaven. If you are not fulfilling your calling, that explains why there's a hole in your heart. And nothing you do can fill that hole, because God has called you for something greater. And this belongs to every Christian. This thing of calling is to serve the purposes of God in your generation. What has God called you to do? If I were to ask you a question, what is your divine reason for being? How are you using your giftedness, if you even know what it is? How are you using it for that which has eternity connected to it? If you can't answer that question, your spiritual development is going to be limited, because you're not fulfilling your reason for being, and you're settling for life in falsetto. But you don't have to. The kingdom of God is like a puzzle that has been completed, but it's made up of all these little parts. I'm sure you've done it, perhaps your children have done it, and that is try to put a piece of a puzzle in a place where it was not meant to fit, and trying to force it to fit when it's not fitting and getting mad that it won't fit. God has saved each one of us to be a piece of the kingdom's puzzle. And the Bible says he's placed each part in the body at the exact place it's designed to fit. Have you ever had a puzzle and had a piece missing? There's a hole there, something not being fulfilled. And so there's a distortion of the whole because the piece is missing, or having a piece in the wrong place. You know, if you try to force a piece of puzzle in the wrong place, you fray the ends because it wasn't meant to be there. So many of us are out of sorts because we don't know where we fit in the puzzle of God's plan, because we've become so secularized in our thinking, so worldly in our orientation, that we've missed the kingdom. There's a great benefit to being an American citizen. In fact, there are a plethora of them. Where to live in a country where we have the freedoms, where we have the opportunity to live in a nation where you can come up with an idea and get enough people to believe into it and become a millionaire or a billionaire overnight. Such are some of the benefits of living in a capitalistic society, and the freedom to dream dreams and have visions. But what this culture won't give you is your calling. It will not give you God's divine reason for your being. Don't settle for anything less than that, because you'll live life, die, and wonder why you were here in the first place. Let me tell you about your calling. Your calling is always bigger than you. Always. Because it is associated with God's kingdom. So it's always bigger than you. When God called Adam and Eve, he gave them a big job. He said, fill the earth with the image of God. Because God is up to something bigger. Hey, everybody, look up in the ceiling. You remember a few weeks I had you look up? Okay, see who was here a few weeks ago. We had a bunch of light bulbs out, and so the room had a dusk over it because all the bulbs, but since then, we have changed the bulbs, and now the bulbs in the ceiling, all of them are fulfilling their calling. Every bulb has one calling, light. Light. Bulbs that are off are not fulfilling their calling, and it makes it darker for everybody. But when we change the bulbs out and we put new bulbs in so that the bulbs are fulfilling their calling, it's not only that the bulb is doing okay, it's that the room is doing better. Because every bulb is called to do something beyond itself. It's called to express light to a bigger area. And so it is, every believer has been called, equipped, and gifted of God for God's divine purposes bigger than yourself. Ants take over a field out of service to their queen. We are to reflect God in the culture out of service to our king. In the scripture read in your hearing today, Acts chapter 13, we discover the church at Antioch. And it says in verse 2, while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to do. Part of your spiritual growth, part of your spiritual development is the realization of your calling. Please notice, he called them by name. Set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work I have called them to do. God has a work he has called you to do. The natural question is, how do I discover that calling? The answer is, God will tell it to you. God is not playing hide and seek with your purpose. He is not playing a game, but notice they only discovered their calling while they were, verse 2 says, ministering to the Lord. In other words, it was in God's presence that God let them know through the work of the Holy Spirit what their purpose in life is. One of the reasons you want to prioritize your spiritual growth is so you can hear the voice of God tell you why you are here in the first place. Too many of us are satisfied with a general calling. No, quarterbacks today have these speakers in their helmets, so the coach can call in the specific play. Now, the quarterback has already learned the playbook, but on the field of the game, the coach calls a specific play out of the playbook directed toward them for that particular play. It's one thing to come to church on Sunday and hear the general word. It's another thing for the Holy Spirit to call your name in your head so you know your play. What God wants to do is show you individually and uniquely through the ministry of the Holy Spirit what his specific play is for you. I was at the airport some time ago, and I was there with masses of people. Just throngs of people waiting to catch their plane. But then all of a sudden I heard over the PA system, Dr. Tony Evans, would you please come to the red courtesy phone? Dr. Tony Evans, will you please come to the red courtesy phone? Even though I was out in the masses of people, somebody was calling my name. When my name got called, everybody didn't go to the red courtesy phone. The only somebody who went to the red courtesy phone was somebody who was a Tony Evans with a doctor in front of his name. I was in a crowd, but I heard my name. You may be in the crowd of the church, but God, the Holy Spirit, wants to call your name. Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I have called them to do. You want to prioritize spiritual growth so that you discover the work and so that you do the work like the work is supposed to be done. You should no longer accept going another year or another decade not fulfilling your purpose. That ought to be unacceptable to you. Where did Isaiah discover what his work was? He discovered it in a bad situation the year that King Uzziah died, that drove him to the house of God where God told him, I'm going to send you to speak to my people. He discovered it when the Holy Spirit had freedom to speak. The unfortunate reality is many of us don't know the Spirit's voice. We've never heard him call our names. See, you don't want to come to church to hear a preacher talk. You can stay home and do that. We can get somebody to pick you up a tape. You can listen to the radio or watch television to hear a preacher talk. No, no, no. You want to come because you want to hear the voice of God calling your name, showing you the work he has called you to do. Combined with this calling, people get scared to say to God, whatever you want me to do, however you want me to use the gift, talents, and skills that you have given me for your eternal purposes, I am willing to do it. Folk get scared. I got some folk who won't pray that prayer because they are scared to death God's going to send them to New Guinea or, you know, Togo land somewhere. That's because, you understand, the Bible says the will of God is good, acceptable, and perfect. In other words, God gives you a passion for what he calls you to do. God does not call you outside of you. He calls you. With that comes fire. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit's coming with fire. The Holy Spirit burns. They call it in the Old Testament stirring the heart. He creates a fire. So that's one of the ways you confirm. There are two ways you confirm that you're calling. You hear it, God speaks to you, but there are two ways he confirms it. Fire on the inside and circumstances on the outside. In other words, he creates the avenue on the outside, but he creates fire on the inside. Plotless existence is passionless existence. Too many of us are functioning without fire. Paul said about his calling to preach the gospel, woe is me if I don't do it. Jeremiah said, it's like fire in my bones. Passion motivates and compels you. It's like the spark plug that won't die. It's where your heart is set ablaze. And it's where you begin to see things you never saw before. Because with God's calling, he lets you see things. He lets you see things. We started Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in our home with 10 people. We had our first leadership retreat 1 year after the church began, and then we had about 35 or 40 people. But at that first leadership retreat, with just a few guys that we had with us, I shared with them everything you see today and the things that you have not seen yet. Because I was called, so I saw things that were not yet in existence. There were no buildings. There was no land. There was no property. There was no staff. There was none of that. There was just calling. But with calling comes fire. With that fire comes vision, so that God is taking you to places that yet are not. It doesn't have to be there. Calling is where God lets you see it, whether it's there or not. The beautiful thing about calling is that God can even use your regrets to fulfill your calling. And that's why you don't have to throw in the towel. That's why you don't have to quit. Because God can take the ugly, the stuff you'd rather not remember. Chuck Colson was part of the Watergate scandal. He was sent to prison for being part of the Watergate scandal. In prison, he gave his life to God. One of the largest, probably the largest ministry to prisoners in the world is called Prison Fellowship, founded by an ex-prisoner who went to jail for Watergate, but he ran smack dab into God and found his calling. Now in Houston, the first time ever in America, they have now built a prison run by Christians. Whole prison is run by Christian principles. It's a private prison to show what God can do when God goes to prison. He's fulfilling a calling birthed by his failure. The Bible's full of it. This world is full of it. Or by your successes. William Wilberforce was called, he felt, to be in the British Parliament. He didn't run for office just because he wanted to be a politician. He felt it was a calling. But once he got there, he discovered the work that God had called him to do. And what was the work? To end slavery in England. While he was dying on his deathbed, after many years of fighting against slavery in England, slavery was abolished, and he died saying, "I have finished the work I was called to do." Now, my question to you is, if you died tomorrow, could you say, "I have finished the work I was called to do," or would you even question whether you knew the work you were called to do? The Holy Spirit stands ready to show you your calling by inflaming your heart, confirming it with inner passion and with external opportunity. It even says in this passage that the church confirmed it when they had fasted and prayed, other godly people identifying that, yes, you've been gifted in this area. Yes, there's an opportunity in this area. Calling. It's the ministry of spiritual growth. God doesn't just grow you for you. He grows you for him. His kingdom, his purposes, his calling, his direction. And when he gives you this new vision of his purpose, you'll never be the same. It reminds me of a boy who was on the football field. He was a goof off. He never really played real hard, always lazy, didn't practice hard. So he never got to play. On the last game of his senior year, the running backs in front of him all got hurt, so they had to put him in. And they couldn't believe their eyes. He was playing like a wild man. They couldn't believe this was the same kid. They went over and asked him, how could you play so well? And you've goofed off all this time. Oh, he said, it's simple. My father was blind. He died yesterday. So this is the first day he's ever gotten to see me play. See, when you know daddy is watching, it makes you want to perform at a higher level. It makes you perform for a greater reason. God has called you to a calling. And that calling for his kingdom, which involves the marketplace, it involves the career perhaps, it involves what you do even beyond the church, should be used for the development of the church. For it is for the kingdom, but the giftingness, the Bible says, is given for the common good of the body. You have people who have been called to be teachers. They represent God in the public school, but won't teach a Sunday school class in church. They'll do it for a paycheck, but they won't do it for the kingdom. When God shows you your calling, some of you are already in it. You're doing your calling. You know you were born for this. It's just God can't use it because you haven't decided to do it for him yet. You're just doing it for you, which means God will never give you a sense of his divine purpose and approval with it because it's only for you. But when you discover your calling, you will have answered the question of success. Because many of us are operating under the wrong definition of success. Success is not what you have done compared to what others have done. Success is what you have done compared to what you were supposed to do. It is fulfilling your divine purpose. Once you are in your calling, you can stop wishing you were someone else. You know how many people go around wishing they were somebody else? If God wanted you to be them, he would have made them a twin. God made you the way he made you. He saved you as you because he wants to use you as you. Before you can know which way to go, you have to have your calling clear. A contractor needs to know what you want to build before he can design and lay out plans. You need to know what you're going to major in, so you need to know what electives to take. A pilot needs to know where you want to go before he can devise a flight plan. And until you know where God wants you to be, you won't know what direction to choose. Bowlers are measured by impact. How many pins they knock down. Far too many of us are rolling gutter balls. Not hitting a thing, but excited, at least we in the alley. Nobody praises bowlers for showing up. Bowlers only get praised for what they knock down. What are you knocking down for the kingdom of God? What time and talent and energy are you giving the kingdom of God? How are you servicing his plan? How are you using his gifts to carry out his program? How is the body of Christ benefiting, and how is the world being made clear about who Christ is? You've been saved for a purpose. The reason God didn't take you to heaven the moment he saved you is because he had something for you to do on earth. And every day it goes not getting done is a day less you have to do it. One of the great stories in the Bible is the story of Joseph. One bad experience after another. Brother sold him into slavery, is accused of rape, sent to jail. But then he winds up being second in charge in Egypt. All this negative stuff, just one negative experience after another. His brothers are scared to death. Is he going to kill us because we sold him into slavery 20 years ago? Joseph told his brothers, he gave them four words that'll change the situation. He told his brothers, who are just trembling now, because what goes around comes around. So the brothers are trembling. He gave his brothers four words that would forever change things. He said to them, come near to me. See, they were shrieking away because they had done him wrong. They were scared. But Joseph takes the initiative and says, come near to me. When they got up close, he said, don't be afraid. I know you're scared because the ship has turned. I'm on top now. But don't be afraid because you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to bring about the deliverance of his people. In other words, God had a kingdom purpose. Some of us walking around mad and stuff happened to us. But if you could only see your calling, you could see how he's going to use all of it to accomplish his purpose for you. God has a reason for you. Amen. All things are working together for good if you love God and if you're called to his purpose. You say, what do I do? Decide, Lord, I'm going to grow, I'm going to get close to you, and I'm going to keep my ears open. Spirit, talk to me by name. Show me my unique gifting. And by the way, God only hits a moving target. You can't be standing still doing nothing, talking about when he hits me, then I'll do something. You do what there is in your hand to do until God shows you what he's going to do next. And if you just do that, you won't have to find your calling. Your calling will find you. The Holy Spirit knows where you live. And he knows how to speak and not stutter. But you have to know, he's not called you to be a cul-de-sac. He's called you to be a conduit so that he can express himself through you. One of the great reasons that you want to grow is so that your living will not be in vain. So that you will end your life like Paul. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And this is the last line. I finished my course, the course I was told to run. And then he concludes it with this. Now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, but not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. Why? Because they finished their race. It's time for you to get on the track and start to run. I know it may be a little unclear right now, but you go before the Lord and say, Lord, show me my purpose for being. I'm going to grow in you. I'm going to snuggle up to you, and you create the internal fire and the external opportunity. Give me a vision for your reason why I'm here in the first place.